You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
I'm ready. Are you ready? What a joy to come together as the body of Christ, to worship Him, to turn our attention to Him, to open His Word, and to let the truth that it brings give us clarity, give us perspective, give us direction, give us purpose. And I'm looking forward to what God wants to say through His Word today to us. It is a joy to be here with you. And if you are visiting with us today, welcome to church. This is a family that you can be a part of. And as you look around the room, you don't see perfect people. We aren't a bunch of perfect people. We are a bunch of people doing our best to follow Christ with all that we have and all that we are. And we just want to invite you on that journey with us as well. A big hello to those who are watching online with us as well, those who are part of our church family who are abroad or in different spaces. A big hello and welcome to you as well. You're working on that, Mitchell. Good job, buddy. Good job. Before I start, need to share with you some news about the passing of someone who was an older member of our congregation, was a part of this church for a number of years, Peter Dart. So Peter Dart, some of you would know, Peter Dart was part of the team here and went on to minister up in Albury, Wodonga, and he was a police chaplain up there and did a lot of work in the community. He was part of a church up there, and he died yesterday of pancreatic cancer. And so some of you know the Dart family, or have known Peter in the past as well. We just want to take a moment to pray for them. There is a memorial service that will be in the future at some point, which we'll let you know about. But whenever there is the passing of someone, a loved person or someone like that, we just want to pray for a family that they will process the grief well, and that through a time like this where there is death, that life comes from it, that there is an opportunity to speak about the hope that we have for our future because of what Christ has done. So can we pray for the Dart family today? Father, we're just so thankful for, Lord, the fact that we know you and the fact that Peter knew you. Lord God, we thank you that not only did he know you in his time here on earth, but he knows you all the more right now as he is dwelling with you. He is in your presence. And Father, we think of the rest of the Dart family as they process this grief. Lord God, that they would fix their attention on you as well. You are our answer in every season, but especially in these seasons where we might have questions about what we are going to do with our life from here on in. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of Peter's hands and his mind and his words. Lord, that others came to know you through his obedience and faithfulness to you. So Lord God, we thank you for his life. We thank you for this family. And we ask right now for your blessing upon them in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are. And thank you, Steph, for your enthusiasm with regard to our announcements and the beginning of 2026. 2026. I love asking people the question, not only at this time of the year, but throughout the year, what are you looking forward to? Think about it for yourself. What are you looking forward to in life? Is there something? And often people will come up with something and they'll think maybe it's dinner tonight, maybe there's a good dinner on the horizon, maybe it's a holiday that you're looking forward to, maybe it's something that you have, a dream or a vision or a goal in the future that you're looking forward to. If you read online right now, there are so many articles about predictions for 2026. What is it going to be like? What tech is coming? What's the weather going to do? What's going to happen in world events? It's at this time of year, people take the opportunity to look forward. And being that this is the first Sunday of the new year, some of you might predict that my message is going to be about how to set good habit patterns or create a growth pathway for 2026 or any of those sorts of things. But that is actually not what I believe God wanted me to speak about today, though that would make sense. This might be a bit of a left field topic, but I encourage you to let God speak to you today. This morning is not about predictions. This is about what the Word of God actually says about our future as we answer the question today, what happens when we die? What happens when we die? And don't worry, when it comes to our theme, I've still got a little bit up here, Mitch, Our theme for the year is not death, so don't worry about that. But the title of our message today is this: what happens when we die? Considering heaven. Considering heaven. When was the last time that you stopped and you thought about heaven? We can so easily become consumed with the now that we don't think forward to the future and what that might hold for us. There is a gentleman from Utah in the United States named Brian Johnson. And Brian Johnson in 2021, he is a millionaire tech entrepreneur. And in 2021, he went all in on the idea of trying to reach immortality. And he spends approximately $2 million a year on experimental things to work on his body to try and make him live for longer or live indefinitely. His goal is not just to stop aging in its tracks. His goal is to reverse aging completely. In an interview last year with MIT, Johnson stated that the Don't Die community, which is the community he created and is part of, they are playing with this idea that the body is God and that simply existence is the objective of life. They have, as part of their community, they have an opening ritual, they have a mantra that they repeat, and as part of that, they go around and they apologize to their bodies for what they've done to it this week. How does that sound like a New Year's resolution for you, huh? We sit around the dinner table and we apologize for what we're putting into our bodies. We apologize for what we're about to put into our bodies, maybe, for some of you. I think it sounds like a bit of a warped perspective on the purpose of life, if you ask me. But we do know that as we read our Bibles, that no matter what the advancements in technology are, no matter how much new health things come on board and are designed to extend our lives, the reality is that the curse of sin remains. And one day, each and every one of us will breathe our final breath and begin our next phase of our existence. And this is where this direct link between the beginning of the year and our eventual passing comes, because, put it up on the screen, guys, what you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. You need to write that down if you're not writing notes today, and get your Bible out, because we're seeing what the Word of God says. What you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. Your answer to that question, what happens when I die, will lead you to make certain decisions about the life that you live today. For though our time here on earth in our bodies is temporary, our time here will have an eternal impact. Before we go on, we spoke about Peter's passing. I want to know here, who has experienced at some point in life the passing of a loved one? Who? Put your hand up if you've experienced it. Look around. Look around, nearly every single one of us. And some of the young ones in the room perhaps haven't experienced that yet. But there is a time that is coming, because every one of us will face that reality. God knew each one of their days. And God knows each one of our days. He knew the day you were born, and he knew the day that you, and knows the day that you'll pass. Let's look at this verse in Psalm 139, verse 16. It says, "In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." Every day that was formed, God knew before the foundation of the world. And even in the sadness that comes from the reality of loss, look at what's reminded to us by Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." And that is comforting to us as we think about this today, and as no doubt in your mind there comes up people that you have lost in your life, or are thinking that maybe down the track or maybe around the corner this is a reality. You need to know that the God that we serve is the God of all comfort for you. He is our answer in every season. Even these ones where we think sadness and grief are going to overcome us, God is indeed our comfort. God isn't distant from grief. He is, in fact, the one who comforts us in that grief. And he provides the hope and the perspective for us that we need to move forward. So let's answer the question today, what happens when someone dies? And I want to reiterate, today what I say is not a guess. It's not my own opinion. It comes from the very authority in the matter. It comes from the Bible. But to be honest, though we will read numerous scriptures today, there is often a significant amount of confusion, even among Christians, about this topic. There are different beliefs. Some believe that when someone dies, everyone goes to sleep and that they will sleep until the final judgment, at which point everyone will either be sent to heaven or hell. Second, others believe that the moment people die, they will be instantly judged and they'll be sent to their eternal destination straight away. And then there's another set of beliefs that when people die, their souls and their spirits are sent to kind of a temporary place, a heaven or a hell, to wait for the final resurrection, judgment, and eternal destination. But what does the Bible say? And I'm sure if I went around this room, put a microphone in front of your face and said, what happens when people die? We will get a range of different answers, maybe meaning similar things, but with different details. So I've broken this down into four parts, and I hope this is helpful today. The first part is this. You'll see it on the screen. What happens is that our bodies die. Number one, our bodies die. Our bodies die and go to the grave. Genesis 3, verse 19 says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This is a result of the fall. The original plan was not for us to die, but because of sin, because of the fall of man, to dust we shall return. Our bodies are breaking down. Do I get an amen from anybody? I'll close my eyes. Do I get an amen from anybody? Amen. The amen was strongest in this area over here. Loudest from over here. Man, my son got a cricket bat for Christmas. And for the last 3 or 4 days, we've been down at the cricket nets and I've been bowling, like, honestly, maybe 20 balls, like 3 or 4 overs. And I pulled a hammy on one of the days and my shoulder's been sore for 3 days. Our bodies are breaking down. This 41-year-old is breaking down. Oh, man, so hard. Boo. Boo. Go to the gym. Get exercise. That's what my wife says. Do something about it, she says. I agree with you. New Year's resolution, baby. I heard someone say New Year's resolution is to break all their resolutions, and that's the only way they can be successful in any resolutions, is to break them all. And when that happens, our bodies break down for the final time. Our bodies, what happens to them? They are buried, some are cremated, others are lost in tragic circumstances, but in whichever way the remains are, or whether they can even be found or not, the state is the same. The body has simply passed away. And the Bible does refer to this state as people sleeping. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 13, 14, and then we're going to come back to it. So keep a pin in it for this period of time. We'll come back later on. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. And I will have it on the screen for you, but I really encourage you to open it up in your own Bible as well so that you can read it. And I'm reading from the ESV today. 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul's saying, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are, there's that word, those who are asleep, that you might not grieve as others do who have no hope. So what he's saying is that there is a reality here between us who know who believers are and those who don't, that there is a different way to grieve. And I don't know if you know this reality, if you've been to a funeral before of someone who does not know God, and there are people there that it's led by people who don't know him, and how different, vastly different that is to going to one which is a memorial service that celebrates someone's life because we know where they now are. There is a poles apart difference, and this is what Paul is getting at. We grieve differently. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God, coming in the future, will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. What does this sleep mean? Well, this doesn't mean that someone simply has taken a really strong sleeping tablet and has fallen asleep for a long time. It's not hibernation. That's not what we're talking about for the body here. This means that there has been a physical death. The body remains here on earth. And most importantly, it points to the fact that this is not actually the final end for this person, which leads us to the next part. The body dies. The second part is this. Number two, our soul separates from our body. Our soul separates from our body. And though our bodies die, we are created for eternity. And physical death is not the end of our existence, which is why it can be troubling when someone like our mate Brian puts all of his eggs in the basket of extending life here on earth. If it is all about doing what we can to remain here on earth, we have our priorities mixed up. I am certainly not advocating for destroying your life and not living a healthy life. God has work for us to do, and we want to extend it for that purpose, but not just so that we can exist here on earth into eternity, because we are not designed for that. This body was not designed for that, well, after the fall. The Bible does, when asked the question, where does someone go when they die? Many would simply, and I've asked this question a few, but many would simply say heaven or hell. But the Bible actually describes an immediate step after death that comes before the final destination. And this is made abundantly clear in the book of Revelation, which we're going to read a bit later about the new heaven and the new earth, our final destination. The Bible also doesn't tell us too much about this temporary place, but we do know that for believers, it is some manner of a home before the ultimate home. What we do know for certain, though, is this, that when a believer dies, they are immediately in the presence of the Lord. And Paul, he expects this immediate fellowship with Christ, as he says in Philippians 1, verse 23. He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. He is confident of that because that is far better. And then you would know this one, when Jesus was on the cross, the conversation that he had with the criminal. And the criminal says this, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Which brings us to the major point when it comes to our considerations of heaven. Because talking about heaven, you can read about it, you can listen to people who would tell stories about visiting heaven and all these different things, and all of it can focus a lot about what it's like, what it looks like, what's happening over here, and we can be transfixed on that. But the major point when it comes to our consideration is that God's presence is there. And that when we die as believers, we are immediately taken into his presence. This is the ultimate joy. And if you've ever been with a believer, in that moment, as hard as it can be to remember those moments, to know that in an instant they went home is extremely reassuring to us. It should help, even when we remember that, for the sadness to be overwhelmed with joy, because that is what they are experiencing in the presence of their Father. And when we talk about heaven, this needs to be our focus. Heaven is not about the different things that we can experience. Heaven is not about the new body that we're going to talk about. Heaven is about the presence of God. What a beautiful reassurance. For to be away from the body, the word says, is to be present with the Lord. As we speak about heaven, we all know that also need to speak about hell. And I almost wanted to leave this bit out, because I think the enemy wants us to leave it out, because he would have us not only imagine that he doesn't exist, but that hell is also not a real place. The Bible talks about it. Both are very real places. Hell, being eternally apart from God, is a real space. And Jesus, he talks about it in incredible detail. And I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 16. It's an incredible story. My Bible says a parable that Jesus tells. There is a debate about whether this is a parable or whether Jesus is actually telling this as a story. Luke chapter 16, turn with me. Verse 19 to 31. Am I waiting for anyone? Coming? We're getting there. Luke 16, 19 to 31. And Jesus says, there was a certain rich man who had splendidly clothed, who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. And it's interesting that Jesus uses these words. Back in that day, purple was near impossible. You were the richest of the rich if you were able to get the things together to blend and create purple and then fine linen. He was saying, this is not just your average rich guy. This is like top of the tree stuff. Verse 20, at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't use names when it comes to his other parables, but in this story he does, who is covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there, longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. Now, a couple of points of clarity. In your Bible, the place of the dead might be listed as Hades. Has anyone got Hades in their Bible? Hades, place of Hades. Hades meaning the place of the dead. Hades is different than hell. When we read Revelation, we talk about the people that are in Hades being poured into the lake of fire, being that permanent place later on. So Jesus talks about this. He is in Hades. And then Abraham, you might have it either in your Bible or Abraham's, what's the word? Abraham's bosom, which is the way the Hebrews would describe that place. It's a bit of a funny one for us to think about today, Abraham's bosom. But that was the place where he was taken, the Lazarus was taken when it comes to safety. It was a place of rest and belonging for the people of God. Let's move on to verse 24. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment." So the man is going from, I need some respite myself, to, okay, well, at least tell my brothers that this is a real place. But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham. But if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." It's the important part. Repent of their sins. Turn to God. This is the answer. But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead." But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. That's a repeat, 29, sorry. That was from before. It finishes there. Even if someone rises from the dead. Like I said, there's much debate as to whether Jesus shared this as a story or shared it as a parable. But whatever the case, it does teach us little truths. Number one, that the judgment is real. Judgment after death is real. Number two, that there is a state of consciousness for everyone after they die. And number three, that eternity is fixed by how we respond to God while we are alive now. And right here, again, we need a pause because the reality of this is pretty heavy. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I said at the start, not one of us in this room is perfect. Not one of us is able to live up to the standard of holiness that God has set for us. He is a holy, holy, holy God. And yet, by believing in Jesus, that he is who he said he is, said he was, the Son of God, given as a sacrifice to take our place that we would be forgiven of our sin, we would be saved and spend eternity in the presence of God. What a gift. What a God. At the end of my message, I'm going to give you an opportunity today to get right with the Lord if you need to do that. For some of you, that will be for the first time. Or perhaps someone has sent you this message and they want you to hear this because they care for you. And you might be saying yes to God for the first time. But this is something that I want to lead you in at the end of the service today, so stick around. Because what you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. So let's move on. We've covered the body dying, the soul separating from the body and spending that undisclosed period of time in either the presence of God or in Hades. And from here, I'm going to talk about the future from a believer's point of view. Are we still going? Are we all right? Can I keep going? All right, because we need to know. We need to know the next bit. It's great. Number three, go to number three on the screen. Reunited with our resurrected and glorified body. This is exciting because the next notable event to come is the return of Christ. And I want to read, go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, what Scripture says about this event. Turn the corner. Verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we declare to you by a word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. As in, we're not going beforehand. Those guys who have fallen asleep are coming. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. The Lord, who is the Lord? Jesus. That is messy writing. With a cry of command, with a voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up, remember this, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. That's important because that is it. Once it, we are always with the Lord at that point. Those who are alive will now no longer come back to the earth and be there by themselves like we are today. We will always be with the Lord. And this part here is really important. I want you to like underline this. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another. And this passage and this part can be sometimes divisive. It's a beautiful problem, promise, but it can be sometimes divisive in different Christian circles. About the timing, predominantly. When's this going to happen? Is it going to happen here? Is it going to happen here when it comes to end time events? But this verse 18 needs to be what we focus on. We need to be encouraged with these words that is going to take place. We also read in Scripture that there is no warning for this moment, that it will happen in the twinkling of an eye, 2 Corinthians 15 says. Now, what is this caught up? What's the word? What's the other word for that? Anybody? Rapture. Rapture doesn't occur in the Bible. The word doesn't occur in the Bible. Yet this is what it's referred to, because that word, that Latin word meaning carrying off or snatching up, that concept certainly does. And the rapture is God's people meeting with Christ as he returns again. And no matter when that occurs, and I'm not going to get into that today, what a brilliant moment that will be. Do I get an amen? What a brilliant moment that will be. And this is the moment that we will be finally free from sin, finally in the presence of God, and free from this thing. The new body is coming at that point in time, the glorious new body. And so what of these new bodies? Because we read about it in Scripture. And as I was doing the study, there were so many passages that I had read before, but I'd read different parts of the passage where it actually talks to this. And it's very exciting as we look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul spends a large portion of the chapter talking about the new body that is coming. 1 Corinthians 15, you can look at it later. This body, our resurrected and glorified body, is not just this thing with a fresh coat of paint. It is much more than that. This body being glorified will be made perfect. New capabilities will be free from aging. Brian Johnson needs this body, not his one that he's trying to perfect. Free from aging. Free from disease. Free from injury. Any sportsman out there? Who was laughing? Chris Blacker was laughing. New Achilles, Chris. New knees. New hips. New eyes, dare I say, Chris. Maybe even a new head of red hair. Maybe even. We will wait and see. It's interesting to think about it, but the best way to say is almost like it's going to be the same, but it's going to be different. I think there will be the recognizing of the different people, but this, it'll be different. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 7. Again, not my opinion, but let's see what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to read from 1 to 7. I'll give you a moment to get there. You're going to get there. There's one more point coming after this. Okay. While I hear those pages flicking, I will be waiting. All right, let's read. Paul saying again, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed," again, let's make sure we're clarifying this body. "The tent that is our earthly home is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Again, this is, I should write, present body. Future. And look at the way that he says it differently. He's combining a tent. He's comparing a tent to a building, a house not made with hands. And this one is eternal and in the heavens. Let's read on. "For in this tent we groan." Anybody? That's what I was doing when I was bowling. "Oh, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." Put on. "If indeed by putting it on we might not be found naked." Now this is important. It is not that he's talking about there are new clothes for you to put on, but what he's talking about is that we will not be in that space, in the future heaven, in a disembodied state, but there will be a body that we inhabit, that is what we are going to be putting on. We read on. "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal right now may be swallowed up in life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. The reverse is true as well, for we walk by faith and not by sight. A new body is coming at the return of Christ to the earth. Amen. Just don't ask me when it's going to be. All right. The fourth thing is this, is after that occurs, we then enter into our permanent home in heaven. The new body is going to be the one that we get to experience for all eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. And this is the final destination for us. And in closing, I want to bring some clarity to heaven for us. And heaven is used in a number of different ways. And then we're going to close. Our timing is good. Then we're going to close. Where, I asked my kids last night, where is heaven? And Roman had a great answer. And he just mentioned it to being up there. So if you were pointing to heaven, where would you point right now? You would probably point up, naturally. And there is a reason for that, because the word heaven means lofty heights or to be lifted up. It says in John 17, when Jesus talks about his final moments, what does he do? It says he looked up to heaven as he prayed to God. But heaven has three different main meanings throughout Scripture. The first one is the terrestrial heavens. Do we know what that means? It refers to the atmosphere around the earth where the weather happens. Where it says the birds of the heaven. Does that make sense? That first heaven. The second layer of heaven, what do you think that is? What is it? Space. We're talking the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that being that other. The heavens declare the glory of God is what that means. And then the third part is we have the third heaven, God's heaven, the dwelling place of God's glory. And Paul refers to his own temporary visit to this heaven in 2 Corinthians 12, and he calls it there the third heaven. And when we're talking about our forever home, he says our citizenship is in heaven. By Jesus Christ, you have a Jesus passport for this place that is coming in the future. And then we get this vision from John. And so turn with me to the book of Revelation. And we're going to close by reading this in Revelation 21. Sky, you can decide what you want to do right now. Or Steph, you guys can talk about it. All right, Revelation 21. This is great. This is cool. And it's behind me. Let's read it together. Actually, I'm done with this. Let's stand as we read this to close. I'll get this out of the way. It says, then I saw a new heaven. This is John's vision that he writes down in the book of Revelation. A new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. In Hebrews 1, 11 and 12, we see it described, the writer of Hebrews described this current earth and the heavens being folded up like a worn garment and then discarded, replaced with what we see. In verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death. And there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. And there will be no more pain. All of these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and is true. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm excited for what the future holds. And I have an answer. What are you looking forward to, Andy? I'm looking forward to that. And no matter what happens in between now and then, I'm still looking forward to that. You know, Liam said it, in this world we will face trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And that's the reality, is that not only do we look forward to the future that God has for us, new bodies, new heaven, and new earth, but we get to live in His presence today through the Holy Spirit, through what Jesus has done. We read before from 2 Corinthians 9, and you can pop it up, guys, Paul's explanation about the new body, but I left the last couple of verses out because I think that this makes a difference for us today as we decide how to live and how to start the year. He says, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We acknowledge that. But whether we are at home or we are away, we make it our aim to please Him. And if you're looking for something to write on your mirror or write on the top of your page or set as a goal for 2026, this is a worthy goal. To do life in a way where my aim is to please Jesus wholeheartedly, which means that, man, I'm going to put some stuff in place so that these sin areas in my life, I am seeing victory over this year. This means where there's been areas in my life where I've been wanting to see growth, but it hasn't happened. I'm going to do what it takes because that is my action to please God. Not just because I think it's the right thing, but I want to actually come before Him and please Him. That in everything we do, we make it our goal to please God. And so now with all of our eyes closed, as we have spoken a bit about death and about life after death this morning, I am aware that there might be some people here today. And if I was to ask you, well, what does that mean for you? Where will you go when you die? You might have a question about that. Or you may say, I'm really not sure. And I want to say to you today that there can be a reassurance right now as you leave this place. Because what it takes to be sure of that is putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that He is the Son of God, and saying, no longer am I going to live my way, but I'm going to do things according to the way that He is asking me to live. The Bible says that when we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are saved. And so if that's you today, and if you're watching online today, there's going to be a link in the video for you to follow this through. But if it's you in the building today with every eye closed and you want to say, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life because I don't know where I'm going and I want to say yes to Him, I just want you to slip your hand up real quick. Is there anyone here today who wants to make that decision? Get right with God. I see that. Praise God. Praise God. Often in moments like this, you know that there can be a certain beating of your heart or something compelling you to want to put your hand up, but then your body is saying, no, I don't want to. This is often God drawing your heart to Himself. To give it just one more moment. This is so incredibly important. Thank you, Jesus. Secondly, I want to ask, is there anyone here and you would say, Andy, I need to get my life right with God. I've made a decision to follow Him in the past, but for whatever reason, maybe recently, maybe over the last few weeks, or maybe I have been away from Him, I feel distant from Him, and I need to get right with Him today. The process for that is to say, Jesus, I surrender again to You. My life, my plans, all that I am, I surrender to You. And I want to pray for you as well this morning. On this first Sunday of the year, to say, God, I'm going all in again. Is anyone here that you need to get your life right with God and you surrender to Him today? There it is. Just put your hand up quickly. Keep it up for a second so I can see. Know who I'm praying for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Church, let us all just put our hands out in front of us just to, an act of surrender to God. Just to be honest, there is something in all of us that needs to continue to be surrendered. Jesus, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that the whole reason that we can stand here after hearing what we've heard today and have a hope for the future is because of what Jesus you have done in the past. God, we are so grateful for your amazing love in giving your Son to die on the cross that we would be forgiven and come back into relationship with you. Lord, I pray especially for those who raised their hand, who you saw, Lord, even if it was a quick raise, you saw their hand and you know their hearts, who are saying, God, I want to get right with you again today. I am saying yes to you again, Jesus. And whatever 2026 looks like, God, I embrace it because I know you are there. I surrender my plans for the future to you. I surrender the things that my flesh wants to do and be attracted to. I surrender to you and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me afresh. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit. Refresh us, renew us, Lord. Have your way, do what only you can do. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have as we look forward. The hope for the restoration that is coming, for the great resurrection that is coming. We remember the saints who have gone before us, the joy that they now experience in your presence. We long for that day ourselves, but not yet, for you still have work for us to do. So we humbly come before you and ask you to have your way in our hearts. You might move through us. Jesus will. Amen. Amen. Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.